Hey friends, welcome to Let's Be Clear. I am Clear Cherry Reeves, and this is a podcast where we get clear, pun intended, about how to find a kingdom perspective in all things. No, really, all things. Whether it be about pursuing your dreams, finding hope in hardship, or just talking about Jesus, we will get raw and honest. I believe it will encourage you. Now, let's dig in. Hey guys, I have been so excited about this interview, and I can't wait for y'all to meet and hear the story of some of my new favorite people and friends, self-acclaimed. I'm hoping that's true. Parker and Jeff Bird. Parker was involved in a boating accident in July of 2022 that nearly cost him his life, but he ended up having part of his right leg amputated. His dad, Jeff, who is a physician in town, has been there every step of the journey. His whole family has. And I've learned just so much about resilience and faith and courage from them both. And I just can't wait for y'all to hear their story firsthand. I've been chatting with them. I wish I could get what we already talked about on the podcast, but we're going to go deep. I told Parker, I was like, get ready, buddy. We're going there. So Parker and Jeff, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having us. Thank you for having us.
I'm excited. I know you've been on a lot of shows, so.
Well, this is the best one yet.
Yeah, look, that is documented. I would take that one to the house. but I know intros are hard, but I just want you to, I know you told the story a million times, but first I want you to kind of just tell us who you are. I know you're from Laurinburg, not originally from Greenville. Jeff, tell us a little bit about who you are, your family, siblings, and your fam.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
I'm Parker Bird. I'm a student at East Carolina. I play baseball there. Like you said, from Laurinburg, North Carolina, which is a small little town by South Carolina. But yeah, just love baseball my life, love God, and have a very close family, two sisters, both younger than me. I have an 18-year-old sister and an 11-year-old, which is about to turn 12, and they're both my best friends.
That's the best.
They're awesome. They have a unique relationship with both of them. Brinley, the little one, she seems more like my kid. Even though she's about as tall as me now, but Grayson's like my best friend. She's been there the whole time, but they're both very special.
That's awesome, and some really solid parents.
Yeah, all the
awesome.
They're good too, I guess.
Yeah,
he loves to give credit to his sister. His mom is Mitzi, and you know, we both grew up in Laurinburg. Started dating in high school, and you know, we came to East Carolina. And we raised Parker to be a pirate.
Yeah.
And his sisters as well. And when Parker, you know, started getting recruited, you know, he just knew from the get-go he wanted to come to East Carolina. And
awesome.
You know, we tried to move to Greenville maybe when he was in sixth or seventh grade. And he's like, I really want to stay in Laurinburg and play baseball with my friends that I grew up with. And so we didn't move. And then when he graduated, was about to graduate, he said, hey, Dad, is that job still available?
Let me cash in. That's a joke.
Yeah. But I was like, I think that moment's passed.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he gets in his accident, and we knew that his dream was still to play collegiate baseball. And, you know, I went back to Laurinburg, started working back there, and his sisters were back in Laurinburg, and they knew that Parker needed them.
Mm.
And his 17-year-old sisters were like, hey, you know what?
Yeah, that's where my life is. That's where my family is.
And she didn't go back to school ever again in Scotland County and just, you know, packed up her stuff and left Laurinburg. And, you know, she needed to do whatever it was going to take to make sure Parker was okay.
That's awesome.
And luckily, she's such a social human being that I think she already had a friend group before she...
I was going to say, she got here.
So, I mean, that's actually how she's at D.H. Conley now.
Oh, nice.
But that's what drove her to Conley instead of Rose is because she already had a friend group at Conley. And, I mean, she loves it there.
That's awesome.
Brindley's at Hope now, and she loves it there, has a great friend group. I mean, she probably has three times the amount of friends here that she does back.
Yeah.
Probably she loves Wednesday nights to come to Open Door to youth.
Oh, my gosh. And then, obviously, Jeff, too, you work now with Dr. Husby, who you guys went to school with.
We went to undergrad together, and then we did med school and then residency together. And,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of been our dream the whole time to practice together. And
right.
I have a bromance.
A bromance.
And then, you know, it was just weird the way God works.
Yeah. He was connecting dots the whole time. Isn't that wild? Yeah. Which I know, Parker, you've told the story about 897 times. So I'm fully aware, but I do want you to just tell the listeners, like, tell us what happened.
Mm-hmm.
July 23rd.
Third, right.
Which is Sledge's birthday, by the way.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, so it's
connected.
Miracles on miracles.
That's
yeah.
Right.
But tell us about that day.
Yeah. So we had to come to summer school for baseball, that all the freshmen just come to get kind of acclimated to
right.
the environment, school and all that. And there's a guy that kind of came halfway through the summer.
Mm-hmm.
He came as a late recruit, and he came in saying, hey, like, we have a river house. My family has a river house about 40 minutes away from here in Bath, North Carolina.
Right.
He's like, we should go one weekend. So kind of just push him off, and we're like, okay, we'll go. And it was the last weekend during that we were free during summer school.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, hey, we might as well go. We kind of blown him off the whole summer, but let's give him a chance. So we went down that Friday, and, I mean, we had a great time. I mean, went tubing, cooked food and just hung out, really.
Yeah.
And that Saturday morning, I was supposed to take one of the guys back to Greenville because he was going to help an elderly couple move some furniture. So I told him I'll drive him. I had a car there. So I was like, I'll take you back. I mean, I don't really care to be here for 2 days. So I'll take you back. But that morning, he got a text or a call saying, hey, Miles, thanks for volunteering, but we don't really need your help anymore. So the other guys were like, hey, y'all should come back out. I mean, y'all don't have anything else to do. So we're like, hey, why not? We had a great time yesterday.
Yeah.
Let's go do it again. So we went back out. I think it was around 1 o'clock that day. And we went out, and the first ride went great. Me and Dixon Williams, who's from Greenville, went out on the first ride, and we kind of got back on the tube because we didn't had so much fun the first time. So let's get back on.
Yeah.
And the second ride, the driver was going a little bit more crazy. And so we both ended up falling off the tube and hitting the water pretty hard. So as we were swimming back to the boat, I was in front of Dixon by a good bit. And I was kind of using the rope from the tube to help me get back into the boat. And as I got within 10 yards or so from the boat, the driver put the boat in reverse or got knocked into reverse somehow. And the boat basically ended up sucking me under. The rope got caught in the propeller and sucked me under the boat, and the propeller hit both of my legs and my left hand as well. And so, I mean, ever since then, my teammates acted really quickly just to save my life, really.
Such a blessing.
I know. I mean, the guy that I was supposed to take back to Greenville was the first person to even react because he had a friend back home. He's from Florida, and he had a friend back home die in a boating accident. So he knew all the 101 of stuff to do whenever there was a boating accident. So he jumped in immediately, was telling the other guys to basically take off their shirts. They were tying shirts together to make tourniquets. And then our boat wasn't able to move due to the rope being caught in the propeller. So one of the guys was waving down out of the boat. And the first boat stopped and was like, they addressed the situation to him. And they're like, sorry, we can't really help because we have kids on the boat and we don't want to expose them to all the blood and this horrible scene.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they're like, but here's a first aid kit. And they're like, this isn't really
going to help. Yeah, first aid kit. With my
life. And here's a Band-Aid.
Yeah, here's
literally.
A Band-Aid. And
yeah.
You know, this isn't going to help. So right. They kind of threw it in the water, and they waved out of the boats, and the second boat stopped. And on that boat was two couples. And the only reason they were going back in that day was because one of the couples had gotten into an argument. And they were like, hey, just take me back. We're done for the day. So
yeah.
On the way back, they saw us waving them down, and they stopped. So we addressed the situation to them, and they're like, of course we'll help. Just transport our boat, and we'll get everything situated.
Mm-hmm.
So they transported their boat, and one of the ladies was talking to me, and she knew kind of knew what she was doing. She's like, hey, I'm a nurse.
Wow.
I'm a tie tourniquet around your legs just to get a bleeding to stop, and we're going to transport you to the marina where there's an ambulance waiting on you. And everything's going to be okay. And they're just kind of talking me through it. So they transported me to the marina where there was an ambulance waiting on me, where they took me to Washington Hospital, which was the local hospital. And they airlifted me immediately to ECU Health here in Greenville.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you were coherent that whole time.
Yeah. So I was kind of super aware of everything.
Yeah.
Just because I knew that if I closed my eyes and fell asleep, that
it's like, stay awake.
Might not wake up. So. I just was kept telling myself, stay awake. This might be worse than you think.
Yeah.
I didn't want to look at my legs because I didn't want to freak out. So
yeah.
Kind of just kept looking in the sky. I actually was playing with my hand. I was like, dang, my hand's messed up. But it kind of just kept me focused on not my legs. So I just kept telling myself to stay awake because I didn't know if I was going to wake up if I fell asleep.
Yeah. And then you ended up having, was it 22
surgeries? 22 surgeries.
Okay. Yes, and how many days?
I think it was a 45-day span.
45 days.
Yeah, with 22 surgeries. So I was in the hospital for 4 weeks on the dot.
Okay.
My accident happened July 23rd, and I got out August 20th. So I was in there for 4 weeks. And I mean, I think through that time I had how many surgeries in the hospital? Probably 16 or so.
16, probably.
So, I mean, they were really, especially the first couple of weeks were back-to-back days.
Yeah.
Or every other day. And, they initially were trying to save my leg. And I think it was like the first 8 to 10 surgeries. They were just trying to get the bleeding to stop, trying to find nerves. They didn't know where my sciatic nerve was at first. Just trying to get everything situated, and they finally thought everything was going well, and I think they went in for a couple more surgeries, and they noticed that my blood was going to my foot but not back up, and during this whole time I couldn't move my right foot at all, and it started becoming really pale and cold. And as my dad being a doctor, my mom a nurse, they kind of knew that wasn't good at all. So they came into my room August 4th and said, "Hey, you have two options. We can continue this medicine we have you on right now, which isn't really working, and the infection can spread to your kidneys and lungs, and you'll end up dying. Or we can just amputate your right lower extremity." Mm. And so I was like, well, I think I would choose option B there. Yeah. I want to live no matter what. So that morning, about 6 o'clock, I decided, like, just go ahead and cut the dead parts off and move on with life because, I mean, the leg doesn't really define me, so... just keep going. So I made a decision then, and I think after that it was just a bunch of washout surgeries, just because I had an infection in my leg after that, just from the bacteria in the water, because it was kind of nasty. You don't realize how nasty lake water is and river water until you get into an accident. So there's a bunch of washout surgeries, and then they were finally able to close up. They did the skin graft last, and just kind of close up, and then just a bunch of recovery and rehab since then.
You said cut the dead parts off and move on with life.
That's right.
That right there tells me, when I met you, I knew this about you, but hearing you talk about the accident, it was like you were groomed. I mean, I know you don't ever feel like you're groomed to get in a tragedy.
Right.
Right. But it was like you had been prepared for this crazy, horrific moment. There were people around you, the Lord had connected the dots. And, you know, I remember when y'all told me about, was it that your knee was going to be possibly amputated and it was like black, and then the tissue was literally revived?
Yeah.
Tell me about that. Didn't that happen?
It did. So August 2nd was the day that, you know, his foot kind of turned pale and blue, and, you know, they rushed him in to do this emergency surgery, hopefully putting a catheter in it so the blood flow would start back to his foot. And then... you know, 2 days later to amputate, and then he goes back on the 5th, and the doctor comes in and says, "Hey, the tissue around his knee doesn't look well." You know, we went back 2 days later, and he said, "Hey, we're going to have to amputate Parker's knee. The muscles around his knee and the bone itself is dead." Mm-hmm. And so we were devastated because we knew the knee was the last hope. Like,
yeah.
You know, we both were just... me and Mitzi were both just devastated. I gave up. I said, "You know what, Parker? I know this story's been told a lot, but no." I said, "Parker, you know what this means? That you're about to lose your knee. You're not going to play baseball again." And that's when Mitzi said, "You know, you can't tell God, no, you know, and you can't define, you know, Parker's will." Mm-hmm. And okay, and so his legs were shredded so bad that they were unable to create a flap. So that really bought Parker a few more days of having his knee amputated. In the meantime, they brought in a guy who does hyperbaric oxygen therapy. They started taking Parker to the chamber off-site. And so they go back to do another surgery, and the muscles had turned black, the bones had turned black, and three surgeries, every time they were said, "Hey, the bones are dead, the muscles are dead." And on the fourth surgery, they were like, "Hey, we noticed a trickle of blood." It's not much. Don't get up your hopes. We're probably still going to have to amputate his knee, but there's some blood. I'm not going to cut anything else off. And he goes back 2 days later for another surgery, and it's pinker.
That is crazy.
And so he had told us we were probably going to have to do inpatient rehab, and we were going to be in the hospital for another 2 weeks. And he said, hey, I want to discharge you home. Like, when? Like, tomorrow. And so we went from thinking we were going to be in the hospital 2 or 3 more weeks and ended up being discharged, luckily, 3 or 4 days later, because Parker needed to learn how to walk with a walker and all this other stuff. But, yeah, the muscles went from black to pink and alive again. And then we talked
about literal revival.
Dead bones back to life. And so anytime I read that passage, hear songs about dead bones, I'm like, God, you're just not a God of the Bible. You're a God of today, And it's the truth.
That's reality, And the hard part is being the person to receive the other end of the dry bones to come alive, you have to be in a state of where death is on the table, or, where you're experiencing this horrific situation. And God's like, I'm going to do something with this. And it's seen through your story, Parker. He's like, I'm about to change other people's lives through something that wasn't preferable, but I have to also say, on a happier note, I know as we talk about kind of here today, because I know that happened. Let's see, what's today? It's March
4th,
2024. So we're nearing up on kind of 2 years, right? Isn't that crazy? Yes. Really, time's flown by.
Yeah, it's the fastest and slowest life. it's crazy. I feel like I was in the hospital yesterday, but there's moments where it feels like it's 4 years ago as well. So, yeah. I think especially in the hospital with the stay, it was just so cloudy the whole time for me.
Yeah.
Just because, there's so much going on. I was drugged up sometimes with all the medications and stuff. So, mom and dad will tell stories now about in the hospital about, do you remember when such and such happened? I'm like,
nope.
No. They're like, you don't? I'm like,
I think people always think, I always thought I was way more coherent than I really was.
Yeah.
You're like, I can write an email, give it to me.
Yeah.
And you can.
Yeah. Yeah. So, just the fact that it's almost 2 years since the accident. And it's just crazy how God works because, I got my amputation on August 4th, and last August 4th of 2023, I was talking at the Challenge Athletes Foundation Gala and the Hamptons.
Yeah.
Because the Challenge Athletes Foundation has been absolutely incredible to me because they granted me with a leg to get me back playing baseball again, just more mobile in general. Mm. And so I was able to give back to them on August 4th last year at the gala where, there's millionaires in the Hamptons, but
the Hamptons just said, just the word. Yeah, you're like, you people got money.
And you could feel it in the air too, 100%. I think they raised a lot of money, and I was one of the keynote speakers that night, and it was a great event.
Wow, what a full circle moment.
Yeah, 100%.
Which I think congratulations are in order. I heard that you are the first baseball player to play with a prosthetic limb.
Yes.
Right?
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Shut up. That's incredible. You should have seen me. Okay, so I'm obviously graduating from Carolina. Did your dad tell you? We were watching, so Sledge, Will, and I, and I am like, oh my God, Parker, come on. And I was getting so mad. I was like, let him hit. I was like, is he scared to throw a strike?
Oh, that's what everybody's saying, yeah.
Oh my gosh, but I was so proud of you. And just our whole, everything it took to get to that moment. But I want to know, when he was like, all right, let's go. And you got in that batter. So I was like, what was going through your mind? What were you feeling?
Honestly, I think that I was just so focused on getting a hit or getting not looking stupid. That I was just so locked in because I knew I had worked so hard to get to that moment that I knew I was ready. So, he told me, I think I got my pinch hit in the 8th inning. He told me in the 7th, he was like, hey, just get loose and get moving. I think you're going to hit soon. So I was like, okay. So I went under the tunnel thing. We had this thing called a mud room where it's kind of a pop-up net. And I just went in there and just swung some off the tee. And the whole time I was just trying to tell myself to relax. It's just another game and just a bat, even though I knew the situation was a little bit bigger than just that. But just trying to tell myself that it was minute compared to life. And it was just, it's just another moment, and that God brought me there for a reason. That that I just keep sharing my story, and that's just another part. So just really try to focus on the moment.
I know that. I think the picture I heard about your new swing. He was like,
he's
got a new skill, man.
So I went up there and I was thinking, like, has to be a fastball first pitch, right?
Really?
I was like, all right. So I was dead red fastball, and then I saw a curveball. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I was like, no way. He just spun a curveball in there. But, and then after that, he really didn't give me much more to hit.
Right.
I mean, I think he was just struggling in general with those strikes. But,
yeah.
I mean, that's just part of his story.
And it's just the beginning of the season, though.
That's right.
I know that you're excited.
I am.
Y'all have been playing great already. But even I was just thinking about, like, the crowd was just, I don't even know, electric's the wrong word. I think for people it is, you know, it's one thing when you're like, I'm praying for you, and you hear about a situation, and then you see someone on the other side of a miracle. You know what they've endured. You know the valleys that they've had to walk through.
Right.
You know all of that. And then to see it in action.
Yeah.
And to be like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
This is literally like, God is so faithful and he's so kind. And to see like you out there, I mean, it was really, I think for everybody, it was a teachable moment. It was also a moment where it was like, okay, we can talk about faith and there's living it out.
That's right.
You know, and you got to really just be a catalyst to that, which I know as like, I mean, how did that make you feel as his dad?
You know,
what were you thinking in that moment? Were you like, oh?
Well, so Chris Osmick, the guy I work with, his son is the media guy for ECU, and he came up to where me and Mitzi and the girls were sitting. I'm like, that's kind of weird that he's come to sit here in this moment. But he said, hey, I think Parker just went underneath the stands to get loose. I want you guys to move further down so y'all can see him better. And he tells me, so I have to relay the message to Mitzi because she's sitting on the other side of me, and I couldn't even speak. Like, I just start weeping.
Yeah.
You know, and because you waited so long just for that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody else has been so caught up on, you know, what he means to them personally, like what giants they're facing. They're, you know, I've really known how much Parker's loved baseball and how much he wanted to live his dream.
Yeah.
You got it.
You know, getting to see him live his dream in that moment meant everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of that moment, no matter what happens from here, it's all good.
Yeah.
You know, and that was, you know, it was just a moment we waited almost 2 years for.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're talking about preparing for a moment, you know, where I'm in the middle of reading Samuel right now and just thinking about David. And, you know, I think about sometimes the parallel of, like, I mean, not the purpose David, but how so many people have giants in their life, you know, and everybody knows about the slingshot and the stone, but they never think about all the time David prepared for that moment.
That's right.
You know, he's out in the field with a slingshot and stones. And I think about all the time that Parker prepared for that moment in the face of that giant.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what I've correlated. And that's, for some reason, that's where God has put me in the Bible at the moment through all this.
Seems to pray for you.
I'm like, you know, just thank you, God, for preparing Parker for that moment.
Yeah. And, you know, when you bring up David and Goliath, and what comes to me, too, also is that David could have resented his position, right? His brothers were off at war. He was this shepherd. He was tending to stuff, running errands, pretty much delivering food, you know, kind of this, like, gopher. And he's like, what is this? You know, but he didn't.
Right.
He was like, God is preparing something. And he saw that, and he let it refine him. And, you know, you could have had this accident and have chosen to gone a million ways with it, right? And I'm not, you know, I think we're human. We have flesh. There are moments where it's like, okay, Lord, not exactly how I was expecting this go down. You know what I mean? I feel like I was really gearing up for, you know, this to, for my life to look like this. But I really think who we become is how we handle pivots, because life is usually not what we expect, you know? And so, like that, I think as a father, too, is like, you've seen him be a little boy and then be a teenager and then be this man of God that's getting to walk out like, no, this is what I believe and I'm going to put pen to paper, you know, and that's so powerful. I mean, I don't think there's a more powerful prayer for your kid.
You know, just like his whole life, he's prepared baseball wise, like for that moment to come to East Carolina and in our head, he's going to be the star shortstop.
Yeah.
And so many people have pointed out, like, most people come and play collegiate sports and, you know, it's over. I mean, not everybody becomes a pro, and not many people remember your name or what you did.
Yeah.
You know, and like, Parker's so much more than just baseball now.
Yeah.
You know, and like, it was so easy for me sometimes for him to get defined by the game. Like, you know, he got his self-worth because he could hit the baseball really hard, throw the baseball really fast. And just to see now, like, at the end of the games, you know, kids coming up to him, or, you know, Mitzi or myself would get a, you know, email or message from someone saying, hey, my kid has quit playing the game because they lost a limb, but they watched Parker walk on the field of playing Division One, which only 1% of all high school kids do. And to see him do that, the kids now feel like they can do anything. And man, what an impact, Parker. I mean, you know, all that preparing that she did to play the game was for all those other kids to say, hey, I can't.
Yeah.
And that's much, much more important to us now to see what he's doing than anything he could have ever done.
Which, I mean, you know, obviously, I'm sure before, not that it was not like you didn't have dreams off the field, right? But I feel like this really, and just from hearing you and talking with you and your family, like, it's made you be so much more like eternal perspective, right? Like, it's like, I'm going to focus on the game. I'm an athlete, right?
Right.
Like, like you said, when I said, what are you thinking? Like, I'm going to get a hit, right? Like, I mean, that's where you're at. That's how you were trained. That discipline, that kind of focused mindset is crucial. But also, like, knowing, like, the field is not who I am.
Yeah.
You know? Do you think that, like, it's helped other players, too? Like, your friends kind of have that same perspective?
Definitely. I mean, God just really led me to East Carolina just for my teammates. I mean, there's a couple guys on the team, really a lot of guys, but two of my best friends, Carter Cunningham and Charlie Hodges. I mean, I've grown in my faith just so much because of them. And they have taught me even more. I mean, because after my accident, I knew that life isn't just baseball.
Yeah.
And that there's obviously way bigger things in life than just baseball. But, like, seeing those guys believe in the same thing that I do. And, like, I mean, Carter mentioned something to the whole team. We have our team Bible study that just, it's just for players. And he mentioned something the other day, and he just said, like, no matter when you go to that box, God already knows, like, what you're going to do. So, like, why would you worry or, like, put stress on yourself?
And,
I mean, ever since he said that, it's really kind of changed my perspective, too, because even within the game, like, there's, you should not worry just because there's already been a plan in place for you and that everything works out for a reason. So, I mean, just having guys with me in my corner that believe in the same thing I do, that life isn't just baseball, is incredible.
That's
why I'm here, honestly.
And I think, too, unfortunately and fortunately, a lot of times we kind of have to be jarred into really having, like, an eternal perspective. You know, I mean, I think there's scriptures, so many of them, because God knows how stubborn we get, you know, and I think, like, you forgot again. You have spiritual amnesia. And so getting back, but having this, like, Will and I, and in totally different story, but just even with Sledge, we'll look at each other and we'll say hospital mindset.
Yeah.
And in that moment, what we're calling each other back to is when we were, like, this would not be stressful.
Yeah.
Because we were really good at releasing what didn't matter.
Yeah.
Because it had a way of just kind of stripping it all away, you know? And so I think now, even just with you continuing to learn and grow, it's like, and I know it's hard, but I feel like there's a level of where it's kind of a not a luxury, maybe that's the wrong word, but a blessing that you're a continual student, you know?
Right, yeah. I mean, there could have been a lot different life that I could be living today. I mean, even my accident, I think that's really what put it in perspective to me. And I definitely wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for my accident, just because it really did make me step back. And it was kind of a slap on the hand, just like, hey, like, I'm bigger than what you're doing right now. And, I mean, not that I was living a bad life before. It's just I think that I need to be more focused on God. And obviously, I mean, I've changed so much since then. And I mean, it's for the better, really.
Were you ever mad at God?
I wouldn't say I was mad at God, just because my parents, I mean, they have kind of installed in me all my life that everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
He has a bigger plan. And I think we've really leaned on Jeremiah 29:11 during this whole time, that he has a bigger plan for us, that it's not to harm us, and that he wants to prosper us, and that he has way bigger things in store, and that he would never hurt us. So I would never say I was mad at God. I mean, I did question why for a little bit, but I mean, like I said, my parents were such big impact in just my mindset the whole time, and my sisters being there for me the whole time, and just I would say the community of Greenville and Laurinburg and really the world, it just really helped me keep a positive mindset and just know that God had something bigger working than just being a baseball player or just being a human, that I could reach a lot more lives with the life I'm living now.
So. Yeah, keeping your eyes up. Yeah. What do you think? This is, I was thinking about this question. I was like, what do I want to ask? What do I want to put him in the hot seat? But what is something that, like, people would be surprised to know about you? What have you not said on a podcast or any? Don't give me something I know from Instagram. I don't want it.
I think people are always so surprised about, I mean, my dad kind of touched on it, but, like, how hard I've worked to like, get back to where I am. But, like, honestly, to me, it's not too impressive because, like, I've always been this way. Like nothing's really changed too much because, I mean, in high school, my schedule would legit be wake up at 6 a.m., work out before school, go to school. My first period would be lift, so I'd lift again. And then I'd go to school. I mean, because of COVID, sometimes school was even shorter. So I'd go to school for like 2 or 3 periods and then come home, work out again, and then go to baseball practice and then go hit again after baseball practice, go eat, and then maybe go do some stretching or cardio after I eat, and then do a little bit of schoolwork and go to sleep. And
Parker, what do you eat to support that? Oh, my gosh. That
lots of peanut butter.
Lots of peanut butter.
That's what I'm exaggerating.
So,
crazy.
I've honestly, like, just because I've worked that hard all my life, like, some days I think, like, I'm not even working hard enough just because, like, with my leg and stuff, they tell me to be careful. I can't push it as hard as I used to. But,
yeah.
So sometimes I feel like I'm being lazy, but, I mean, I'm still working really hard, but to just that I didn't really change that, like Dad said, I was prepared for this and that. I mean, God put me in that mindset all my life that I always wanted to be the best and that anything other than the best was not acceptable. So I think that I always just had that mindset.
Wow.
I thought you were going to say I like Legos.
I do really love Legos right now. I mean, the Black Panther, and I was actually just thinking about that when Dad was talking.
Are you serious? That is what I'm gifting you. I'm getting you Legos.
Will
you build from a sled?
I would love to.
Oh, my God. That's so awesome.
Yeah,
they challenge your brain. They're little.
It's my therapy. In high school, I built the Rome Coliseum.
Wembley Stadium.
Yeah.
Soccer
stadium. And now, I mean, everybody knew I like Legos during my accident, so that's what everybody.
So many Legos.
So, I mean, I've built the Thanos' hand, the glove thing, a bunch of cars, a bunch of, like, Star Wars stuff. I'm working on.
Oh, my gosh.
You want Black Panther
right now? No.
I've done.
All your creations.
Oh, yeah. I've built the Earth where it literally spins.
Does it help your brain, like, doing something with your hands?
Kind
of just relax?
I think, like, that's really my therapy is just building Legos and listening.
I'm going to go buy Will some Legos.
It's awesome. I love it. I think that's how my brain works in general, just the satisfaction of the completed product. So
my grandmother, she does Sudoku. She's 94, and she does Sudoku puzzles every day, and she says, you need something that challenges you that you have never seen before.
Yeah.
A puzzle, a words, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because your brain needs to come against something new every single day.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's so smart. So that's like you're doing that. Yeah. Now you just need a Lego of you. Parker Bird Lego. Like, where are you at?
They actually asked me that yesterday. I was talking to, but they said, like, can you create your own Legos?
Yeah, can you? You can create your own Nike. Like,
I'm sure you can.
Yeah.
I'm quite sure. I know there's a basketball player named Miles Turner, mm-hmm. and he's obsessed with Legos, too, and he has, like, his whole Lego room and, like, things like 6'8" or something, but he has, like a self-made, like, Lego of himself, and it's, like, 6'8". And, like,
when you do that, you've hit it. Oh, you've hit it. Yeah, man.
Pretty expensive.
Nathan, I was going to say, like, I think cheap, but I've purchased a few myself.
Worth every penny, though.
On a more serious note, though, I do want to know, like, what is something you're struggling with right now? And I know, look, okay, let me say this. You're very hopeful. You're very positive. I feel like you have literally, through the discipline of, like, your thought patterns, trained yeah. your brain to pick the hopeful side of circumstances, mm-hmm. which is amazing. But
yeah, I think right now is really, like, how to share my story to as many people as possible the right way.
Okay.
I mean, we're having a website built, and I want to do public speaking now in life. That's mm-hmm. what I want to do after baseball and Paralympics. And I think it's just, like, how do I get a foundation going to impact other people? How do I know what are the right places to go to speak? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, whenever God gives you a platform like this, like, a lot of people want the inside of your story. And, like, not to say things are smaller than others, but, like, what will reach more people? And
yeah.
Just, I think that's really our struggle right now is just how to do all that the right way. And
yeah,
I mean, luckily we've been blessed with some people that have been kind of driving us in the right way, mm. but,
one's in the room.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So
no, but you know, I think hearing that, just when we did talk about that some, it's like,
yeah.
I don't think there's a person who wants to put you in a more fruitful place to share the gospel through your testimony than the one who gave you the testimony.
Yeah.
So the good news for you is that he's going to open those doors and make it pretty
yeah,
100%.
Obvious. I mean,
but
meeting you and then Kendall's been awesome. And I mean, it's crazy.
But you're hungry for it. That's what I love. Like, y'all are, you know, I know we were praying before, and I think the word that just keeps coming to my spirit is, like, you're available. And you know, it's one thing, like, the Lord is so excited about all of where we're all at. And I think so many times he's like, if you would just open your hands and hold things a lot looser, I could really put some awesome stuff in there, you know? And so y'all are doing that with living with, like, a yeah. loose grip.
Yeah, definitely. And then another thing is, like, just being consistent in faith. Like,
yep.
I mean, I've done a lot better, but, like, just reading the Bible every day, doing your devotionals. And because, I mean, and life gets so busy in general that I find myself not forgetting about it. Cause I mean, just talking to God every day is
great. For sure.
But just like, man, I need to go back to
yeah.
the Word. And
I'm irritable. You know, where's my Bible?
So I think that's another yeah. thing I could definitely improve on.
Yeah. I think in every season in life, that's probably the struggle that we could all mm-hmm. probably say, I need to.
Definitely.
You know,
life gets so busy all the time that
yeah.
kind of try to drive you away from what the Word is, but
yeah.
just talking to God every day.
And it sounds like you have really solid community, which is very helpful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I think just my family and the community here and
yeah.
everybody knows that what my goal is, that keep God in the center of it. And
mm.
they've done a really good job of, like, making sure I focus on that.
Yeah. So. I was going to say, my next question was, what can we pray for you for? Like, what's your dream? And I know, but you just said,
yeah,
you know, Paralympics mm-hmm. and speaking.
Yeah, just because, I mean, I want to reach as many people as possible. And then
yeah.
I'm also always an athlete. So what I would do without a competitive event in my life. And I don't know what sport in the Paralympics yet, but I mean, I know I really love swimming. And that's kind of something.
Awesome.
Yeah, that my accident has also led me to, because yeah. for a while I couldn't really run and do cardio, like, with my leg on, because mm-hmm. just a lot of stuff. And we met this one of our really good family friends. Her name's Caroline, and she was a swimmer at
Georgia Southern.
Yeah, so I mean, she knows what she's talking about.
Yeah.
And she told my mom, I think it was probably like last March, mm-hmm. Parker really should get into swimming.
Yeah.
I used to swim as a kid on a team, and I was really good, but it's hard. Like, I knew how hard it is.
Yeah.
that cardio is different than just like running. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, sure, why not? I mean, yeah. Let's go ahead and give it a shot. So kind of fell in love with it. And I'm not.
Is that what part of what you do now?
Yeah, well, since season started, I kind of backed off a little bit, just kind of how busy. But during the off season, during dead periods, or I like to go to Aquaventure all the time, and I'll have Carolina write me a workout. And
oh, my God.
So got into that. So I'm not really a long distance runner, but I really want to run a marathon now. And I before my accident, I used to look at the stickers on the back of cars and it's like, why do people even?
You sound like Will. I want 0.0.
But now I'm like, I just kind of want to. I don't know why, but it just so triathlons maybe in the cards as well as swimming. And I got in contact with some Paralympic coaches with like throwing javelin and the disc and stuff. So with being a baseball player, that correlates a good bit. So maybe that, but we'll see. You never really know.
I love what you're doing, that you're literally putting intentional time in. How can I make an appointment to get uncomfortable?
Right.
Because like, you're not going to always trend towards that way. But I think it's like, okay, knowing in order to grow, I'm going to have to get uncomfortable.
Yeah, definitely.
And setting yourself up in these places where you're like, okay, it's going to challenge me physically, mentally.
Yes.
Let me tell you what, I swam, and I don't mean a workout. Okay, I just meant I swam in a pool. And I lost an old. Hope I go the next day. I was like, guys, what did we get today? Yeah. It's a different kind of muscle work.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
And the breathing, and I mean, I feel like I've been wanting to throw up every time, but it's great. I never thought you could sweat in a pool, but you sweat inside the pool.
Do you?
You don't rise it.
Okay.
You get
but
out.
It's coming out.
It's like, I can't. Why am I still like dripping sweat?
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's hard.
Oh my gosh. Well, I wanted to just end up with, if somebody who's listening is walking through a very unexpected situation, maybe a tragedy, what would you tell them? What advice would you give them? Or what would be your prayer for them or anything?
Just trust God and give them understanding of why they're going through that season. That God has a bigger plan for all of us. Just because our plan may not line up with His plan doesn't mean that His plan isn't better.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in my life, I thought I was going to be a shortstop at ACU my freshman year.
Yeah.
I mean, and everything was lined up for me to be until my accident. And so for a while, I was just questioning why. But now, on the kind of the outside of that, I know why, and that just time just heals, and that there's always a bigger plan than what you think. And that no matter what, you always have a chance to impact somebody else, whether you know it or not. Because, I mean, there's so many people out there that I have no idea that I impacted that I did. And I mean, obviously, I know that I've impacted a good amount, but this God's working in your life for the better.
Absolutely. Grace of God through you, and just, you know, the opportunity and, trusting Him, despite the fact that it is not what you... It doesn't mean you're going to be like, I love this.
Yeah.
Right? It's just, okay, this is bigger than me.
Yeah. His plan is bigger than yours.
Yeah. What about you, Jeff?
You know, I mean, truly to have faith in what you believe. I mean, you know, it's so hard to let your plans go in life, and to just, you know, have faith in something that you don't even see.
Yeah.
And, you know, you really pray about stuff, and, you know, don't try to force everything to go to your will.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was hard for me because, you know, so many times in my life, I felt like I could buy myself into any situation.
Yeah.
You know, or my name could buy, you know, especially in Larnberg, a small town. And, you know, I felt like I could honestly give my kids whatever they wanted, and realize, you know, the only thing that matters is your salvation, really.
Yeah.
And to truly have faith in God. I mean, like, that has taught us so much in these last 2 years. Is like, you know, money means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And God's plan for yourself and your children is everything. And I know just what you go through with Sledge, and just every little milestone.
Yeah.
you know, like,
you don't realize how much you're white knuckling your plans though until it all happens.
And just learning how to let go in those moments and like just enjoying the moment that you see Sledge pushing a toy and you're looking behind that toy and you're like, let's go. Because I know what's next. I know he's about to let go, you know, and you know that God's holding him up.
Yes.
You know, because it's so hard because I'm like, I'm supposed to be holding you up and realize, hey, you know what? I'm letting go and letting God.
Yeah,
you know?
That's exactly right.
And so that's the one thing I can say to any parent is like, you're not doing this alone. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter how much you think you're doing this alone, God has you.
Yeah. It's so good. It's so good. Yeah, mm-hmm. I can't thank you guys enough. Jeff, thank you for answering my 8 million texts about Sledge. And man, Will said he's going to block your number. He did that. No, but Parker, really, I literally have pulled you up several times when Sledge has been practicing walking. And I'm like, hey, bud, like, look at this, you know. And I'm so proud of y'all. But it's also such a just testament to anyone listening to that, like, you know, courage has a ripple effect. And when you walk in courage, like, other people inherently feel like they can too.
Oh, yeah.
And that's such a beautiful thing because there's so many people who have so many stories and things to share. And I just pray that they show up just like you have. So thank y'all for coming on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Seriously. I cannot believe I'm saying this, but I've always been a Pirate fan, but Pirate baseball, I'm decked out in here. I got my miracle hat on. Look, we have Parker Bird shirts. So we'll be sporting those, and we can't wait to cheer you on. But super proud of you, and just thankful for you guys.
Yes, ma'am.
Thankful for you as well.
All right. Y'all, we will include some links to Parker's new website soon. And everything we got going on so that you can find him and hear all about his story, send in any questions. Feel free to rate and review if this encouraged you to send to someone, especially if they are struggling or going through something they did not expect. That is what life tends to be.
That's right.
Is a series of happenings that are the Lord has a way of just weaving way better than we could. So we love you guys and hope you have the best week.